from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
It's Cronin time! Yeah!
Marshall Harris, sports director, Mississippi State University.
Mark, I will make sure for the next 3 days I try to stay away from as many cliches as possible because you rattled off a few and I can see how it annoyed you. So I'm gonna do my part and try to stay light on the cliche. I'm not saying they're not going to come out every once in a while, but like iron sharpens iron. But sometimes you think it's iron and iron. Sometimes it's just tinfoil and copper.
What?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I can tell. We can treat the next 4+ hours is your therapy session if you need to. Here. I'm a great listener.
Yeah, you are.
My grandmother told me you have two ears, one mouth. You should listen at least twice as much as you talk now.
Are you being serious?
What are you talking about?
I don't come up short on the words, so therefore, I'm going to listen.
Okay.
I got you. I'm here.
I know you said that before the show, and I felt calm. You're like, you saw me over scrambled all my papers.
I got you, man.
And you're like, I got you.
We're about to have fun.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
My God, what a happy day it is when I talk to Mark Grody and anybody else who's with him.
Let's go.
So good. And good morning. Welcome into the Mully and Haw Show.
I feel like I'm just as happy as that young man.
Which young man? Wayne?
Yeah, Wayne.
Wayne.
I'm with you. So if he's happy that you're on and I'm with you, or anybody's with you, I can be anybody.
Right, and which means that Wayne from West Lafayette is happy with you.
Yeah.
And supports you, Marshall Harris.
Just for being here with you, I get support from Wayne.
Yeah.
See how that works?
It's full support. Full
sharing support. Is caring, not to be cliche.
That's right, and thank you to Brandon Fryer for putting that piece together. We've got Dustin Rhodes over there, our executive producer. Those two are in their usual chairs. Marshall Harris, the voice which you just heard, and me, Mark Grody, we are collectively in for Mully and Haw today on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Hope everybody is doing great. You know how to get in if you'd like at 312-644-6767 to text or to call to anything that we are talking about here today. What's your Twitter handle these days, Marshall Harris?
At M. Harris on air, but trust, you probably won't be able to find it. I've been shadow banned on Twitter.
What?
Yeah, like if you just type in like Marshall Harris or at M. Harris on air, it usually doesn't show up.
Wow.
For most people.
Okay, interesting. Well,
I thought it was me. Like I thought I couldn't figure out how to use Twitter all of a sudden.
No, it's I've been shadow banned for 2.5 years now. Yeah,
I don't even know what that means. Shadow banned. It actually sounds.
It's like
cool.
So you exist.
Yeah.
Like. I am there. Like, yeah. I can go in and I can tweet. But if you don't see my tweet in real time or somebody doesn't see it and
You're just, it's like I don't exist.
Okay. Like, well,
you can't search me, my name, or my handle.
It's so weird.
So like,
well, that, now I can see you and hear you, so it's all good.
Yeah. I have not been shadow banned. I think I was just banned. I don't know what happened.
No, you got kicked out.
I guess I got kicked out. I'm rebuilding, though, right now. It's a rebuilding program. We took it back down to zero followers. So if you'd like to get in on the Mark Grody rebuild on Twitter, I am now at Grody Sports until the maintenance gets done on my real Twitter handle.
But the thing that I didn't know that. Like I'm out here retweeting, you know, tagging you, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's not me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I a lot of people have tried to, hey Grody, what's your Twitter handle? It's like, I don't see you on here. Yeah, it's a whole thing. For some reason, I'm not on Twitter anymore. I still don't know what happened. Spiegel had the same thing happen where we were just banished from Twitter. Like, no, the only thing I can think of.
Oh, it happened to Speaks too?
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. There's the, like, all, like, you could go and find at Mark Grody Sports. My picture is stripped off of there. The followers are still there. Like, I'm there, but I cannot work on it.
Were both of these instances post the Elon Musk takeover?
They were, yes.
Yeah, you know, he fired a lot of people.
And, yeah, that's so there's no direct line of communication.
Right.
And I've tried every possible scenario, like in terms of filing complaints online, talking to important people here and around the country that might be able to help, and nothing. So I just decided to start a brand new Twitter account where I tweet all my bear stuff at Grody Sports.
It's affected my tweet output, if you will.
Yeah.
I used to be a mad tweeter, and now it's like, well, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, does it make a sound?
Right.
So
right.
My tweets have just been very far.
Yeah, so this is a tough time in our Twitter world right now. I'm glad that we have that bond here this morning.
Yeah.
And wow, what a night of baseball last night.
It really was. I tried to go to bed early. I was like, I'll go to bed early, and then I'll figure out what happened in the morning. And then the Cubs sucked me in, and then the White Sox, they really sucked me in.
Yeah, White Sox blew out the Yankees 12-2. The Cubs lose to the Guardians by a final of 9-8. That was the 9-8. Ooh, boy, the story of this game for the Cubs, for people just getting up and you couldn't stay up late enough to see what happened. The Cubs were down 8-3 in the sixth inning. They would come back to tie the game in the eighth after a four-run seventh, but ultimately it is the Guardians who beat the Cubs 9-8 as the well-bellied Josh Naylor came up with a go-ahead hit, a little dribbler down the third baseline. Reminded me of a certain Ben Zobrist go-ahead hit in a certain Game 7 against Cleveland on a November night in 2016. Unfortunately, this one was on the side of the Guardians. So if you're going to make that kind of a comeback in a game, you may as well win. You kind like gallant comeback. It's too bad that they fell behind as they did on Shota Imanaga's watch. He just was not good last night. John Kenzie Noel hits two home runs. Stephen Kwan goes deep as well for the Guardians. But you're going to come back that close, you have to win that game. So last night, again, Cleveland's good. That's a good ball club right there. But I felt like the Cubs had to win that game just because of the comeback, and they didn't.
Well, I don't feel like they had to win the game. Like, they should have won the game, absolutely. But the fact that they're showing fight, I still think they're playing good baseball. You're just not going to win all the games. And like you said, they're going up against a team in the Guardians who wake up today tied for the best record in baseball. So it's not like they're playing a bunch of scrubs and they didn't get it done. The resilience that they showed, I mean, and the fact that they were able to come back against what's been, what, the best bullpen in baseball when you talk about the Guardians, that's showing a lot of fight. It's just, you got to get a shutdown inning. Twice they didn't get shutdown innings. It happened, they go up 3-0 in the fourth. Then they immediately give up the lead in the bottom of the fourth. Then they tie the game, as you mentioned, in the top of the eighth. And you're like, all right, they just need to, you know, get a shutdown inning and immediately get that run back. Shout out to Julian Mayweather. I mean, these things happen,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But here's why I'm okay with, like, what happened with the Cubs. At no point did I think the Cubs were, like, going to go into Cleveland and, like, sweep the Guardians. You still got two more games to play. You would have liked to get a win with Imanaga on the mound, for sure. But today's a new day. I think it stinks because Cubs fans, we're looking at this as, hey, we're a game away from 500. Haven't been at 500 since they beat the White Sox the first time in the Crosstown Classic. So it was a big step that they could have taken. Now they need to win two straight games to get to 500.
Yeah, I generally don't take teams seriously in any sport unless they're 500. I know that right. You and Dustin predicted playoffs yesterday, but I can't pop. Well, did Dustin predict playoffs yesterday?
Well, I said they've dragged us back in and they've got my attention again. And instead of bringing guys up like Owen Casey, now they have to play guys like Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki. You can't bring up Owen Casey right now. But again, you know, last night was, you know, Marshall, you say, oh, they weren't going to sweep the Guardians. Sure, they weren't going to sweep the Guardians. But when you have a 3-0 lead and Shota on the mound, you can't give it up that way. And then the use of Merriweather? I mean, give me a break. And then Craig Counsell, that's baseball. Well, that's just baseball.
I mean, but like, I mean, you know, I get what you're saying.
Are we going to get Craig Timber, right? I mean, Craig Timber is supposed to be a thing. Can we get Craig? Is he going to have one good month?
Well, it's got to be something.
It's not September yet. So, like, let's everybody.
Thank God.
They're 4 games back of the wild
Summer's
card.
Summer's gone too fast.
I still believe the Braves are going to free fall because they're just. They don't have the horses that they're accustomed to having with Acuna and company out. So I think there's Craig Counsell in the pregame yesterday made a good point. He's like, it's too early to think of this as a sprint. Really what this is, remember you used to have to run the mile in school? It's four laps around the track.
Oh, yeah.
They've run 3 laps.
Yeah.
They've got 40 games left. They've run 3 laps.
Yeah.
Now you got a whole other lap. And that last lap is usually the hardest, unless you've been saving something. And watching the Cubs, I think they've been saving something.
I'd like to think that they've been saving something out there. But I will say this about Craig Counsell and Craig Timber, as Rhodes just said. Look, there is an expectation with Craig Counsell. I always say, like, if people want to be on the manager and blame Craig Counsell for things that have gone on this season,
absolutely,
I'm totally game for that. Because the Cubs told you when they signed this man to an $8 million a year contract, they were telling you, they might as well just said straight up to you, manager matters. Games can be won because of the manager. The manager should be culpable for things that go wrong and things that go well. Things have mostly gone wrong for the Cubs this year, so he deserves fair criticism. And it's fair to say, yes, there's a certain expectation with him this year, whatever that means. And, you know, one of the things that always drives me crazy is and I hear seasoned broadcasters in baseball say this all the time, and people who are baseball people say it's like the yearly argument that gets made when a team is struggling and for some reason, whatever the scenario is, people don't want to blame the manager. What do they say? They say, well, you know, Craig Counsell can't go out there and hit for PCA. You know, he can't go out there and field at third base for Chris Morel. He can't run the bases. Duh, we understand that.
He but can't throw strikes.
But right, he can't be throwing strikes. He can't save games. But you know what you can do? You could do things to put your team in a better position to win. Shuffling the lineup, changing the order of your bullpen. If he is Craig Counsell, if he is so simpatico with Jed Hoyer and the front office, then make some suggestions how to. And I'm sure he has. Who knows what went into the Chris Morel trade? I mean, maybe Craig Counsell had something to say about that. But that's my way of saying, look, if people want to get on Counsell, go for it. Go for it. He is open game, and the Cubs put him in that position, and he put himself in that position.
Yes, when he took the job, he knew why the Cubs went after him. That was their big offseason move. Like, to hire Craig Counsell was the move that they made to be the difference maker. Everybody 100. Else looking at different free agents or a trade you can make. But the biggest move the Cubs made in the offseason was to give Craig Counsell that Brinks truck money, if you will. And so when you look at what he's done so far, you're like, all right, they're right about where they were, I guess, this time last year. Here's the thing. The Cubs clearly paid attention to what happened at the end of last year with the fade. On the back half, the last couple of weeks or so. And they had a chance to be in the playoffs, but they didn't. They missed the playoffs. They were one game out in the final wild card standings, right? If Craig Counsell is worth a handful of games, then you say, well, if Craig Counsell had been our manager, we would have made the playoffs. That can be looked at as the reasoning for the Cubs. Now you get Craig Counsell with an opportunity, his team with 40 games left, 42 games, I believe, left. He can now make the difference between a team that is middling and a team that makes that late season surge a la Craig Timber. And if that happens, the Cubs will be fine with this.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the fade because the Cubs faded last year under David Ross, which was part of the reason. I don't know if it was all of it, maybe just a tiny part of it, is why David Ross lost a job last year. That the Cubs essentially, with what, a 90% chance of going to the playoffs at one point in time at the end of last year, they choked at the end of last year. Now, part of it might have been guys like Justin Steele running out of gas. And now to that end, I ask you guys about Shota. And this is an easy to project. Shota Imanaga got rocked last night. It is the middle of August right now. Shota Imanaga has never been through a full major league season. Just like last year, you needed Justin Steele, as great as he was down the stretch. You need this guy, Shota Imanaga, to not have, and I realize we're being really hard on the Cubs right now over one game that they lost to a really good team, but there were too many opportunities to win the game. You would expect Shota Imanaga to be better. You would expect that in the second inning, when the Cubs have runners on first and second base with one out, that they will get something. That's the way the game was trending throughout. Like the story of leaving men on base until Dansby Swanson cleared the bases. And then I was like, okay, that's not going to be the theme of the day. But there still were moments and continue to be moments where with less than two outs and runners on base and the Cubs fail. So those are problems.
Yeah, when one team is 5 of 8 with runners in scoring position, the Guardians, and the other team is just 2 for 9, and of course, you know the big hit that, you know, happened with the bases loaded, that's really kind of the difference. But there were several different points. We were talking about the Cubs not being able to score enough, not being consistent on offense. They showed you offensively they're there. They did not get a premium performance from Shota Imanaga. That's why I'm not as concerned. I get it. It's easy to get frustrated because you're watching the game, recency bias. It happened last night. It's the last taste in your mouth is what the Cubs did. But let's just take a moment, take a beat,
okay,
if you will,
okay,
and say if they win today, if they win tomorrow, not both, just either or.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They got to win the series. They are not in a position. Or when is
you're
the
right.
date?
You're right.
We have to come up with a date then. Okay.
Okay. Okay. That's
Here
fair.
Here's my pregame question at Craig Council. Okay, Craig, with all due respect, it's not a sprint. There are still 40 some odd games to play. I'll do the math before I ask the question officially. What's the date? When will you finally be worried? When is it finally a sprint? When is it finally a must win?
For me, it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks left in the season, as long as you're within striking distance. And at 2 weeks, you need to be like one game back or two games back, like max. But what I'm saying is we're not even to September. If they wake up on September 1st and they're within a couple of games, I think everybody's going to be like, all right, they're there. Now, we'll see how many teams are between them and whether or not they're over 500. If they're within a couple of games, I would think they'd be over 500. But first things first, get to 500. That's like you said, Mark, yeah. I'm with you. I can't take you seriously if you're not to 500.
Yeah, now, don't be sitting there 59 and 61 and telling me about the playoffs.
This isn't the NFL with 17 games and 7 playoff spots. If it was that, okay, you hang around. We saw the Bears hang around 500 or yeah, they could see 500. How about that?
Hey, I've seen a Bears 500 teams play in the playoffs.
Exactly, but yeah. that's not what this is with Major League Baseball. And I think for the Cubs, it's fine because they are just playing better. They had a bad game last night. They lost by one run. And so, like, I can't get all bent out of shape. I'm like, I see what
it was
went
an
wrong.
Emotional game, man.
Yeah, but
that,
it was,
that's what it was.
It was like you were back at Great Adventure.
Yeah, Great America. Yeah.
Oh, Great America.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
And because it was a roller coaster.
Right.
It was
right.
rickety at
I was
times.
Back on the Raging Bull. No, that's the American Eagle. It's still rickety. The world's largest wooden roller coaster, which I was a part of last week. But yes, it is the roller coaster. And guess what? Dustin Rhodes and I are riding the roller coaster, and you refuse. You just refuse, don't you?
You know what I like to do? I like to remember a little movie called Final Destination and the sequels that came after.
Oh, man, I didn't see the movie.
I don't get on roller coasters. I'll just watch y'all, you
okay.
know? Like,
okay.
With the Cubs specifically?
Yeah.
And this particular roller coaster?
You don't want any part of
like,
it. You don't like the loops? Like, do they make you sick to your stomach? The corkscrew, is that the problem
When you're a White Sox fan, you don't worry about roller coasters. You already know how it's going to end. You don't even, you know, that's where I am.
Okay, what would you like to say about the White Sox pummel the Yankees 12-2, 10-run win for the Chicago White Sox. last night, Mr. White Sox, what would you like to say about the White Sox win last night that you were laying in bed watching last night, and they were so good that they prevented you from getting to sleep early?
Like, I needed to see, I needed to make sure with my own two eyes that we saw this one in, you know, because I was never fully comfortable, even as they were tacking on run after run after run. I was like, because you saw how the game started, right? Aaron Judge hit that double, and I was like, oh yeah. It's only a double. So
I was kind of, at that point, though, I was kind of like, oh, we're getting to see what we paid to see. Like, it's Aaron damn Judge. I kind of want to see him belt the baseball.
And so you see that. You see their starting pitcher, Kyle Busch. He's like, watch this. I'm going to walk seven guys, and yet when I leave the game,
watch this.
The White Sox are going to be up. Like, how does that happen? A starting pitcher walks seven guys, and he only gives up a run,
dude,
or two runs.
Check me out, Haw. Check this out. 11 on the day for the Yankees. They walked 11 times altogether. 9 hits, 2 for 18 with runners in scoring position. But when you walk 11 times, you're supposed to win the game. What an outlier that is. That's amazing.
The Sox scored 12 runs. That's a season high, 12 runs. They belted out 18 hits. That's a season high. Mm-hmm.
Keep it going.
18 Amen. Hits. They beat the Yankees by 10 runs for the first time since 2009. Like, things happened in this game that seemed like an anomaly, but they took the Yankees behind the woodshed.
They did.
And just beat them down.
They let it out for
sure. It was a mollywhopping.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what.
I don't know what a mollywhopping is.
It was the White Sox best game of the season. And I don't think it's close.
Well, it's the to add to all the best of
the superlatives.
The superlatives. It's the largest margin of victory for the White Sox this year. In fact, 10 runs would probably be the largest margin of victory for a lot of teams. The Sox just got it all over with in one game. Will the Sox crash and burn tonight? Of course, right? They're going to lose by 10. Or are we looking at some sort of, because they were hinting at it last night in the postgame show. Little bit of magic with Grady Sizemore. Like, Ozzie and Chuck were doing the thing that, you know, where you say, oh, they're getting that little bit of a boost. And it's ironic because this is the first time that they've won under Grady Sizemore. But having watched all of those games, they have played pretty well in those games. The comeback against the Cubs on Friday. They only lose 3-1 to the Cubs on Saturday. And then they did their business last night. I got to tell you, When a team is that bad, and I've seen this with managerial or coaching changes in this town forever, I don't really fall for the sentiment of it when a new guy comes in and he gets his first win. But for some reason, maybe because the White Sox are just so broken, I was happy for Grady Sizemore. I mean, this is a bankrupt team at this point. I mean, they're gone and they're trying to redo it. But I actually felt good for Sizemore because you could tell he was giddy.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. Yeah. It sounded like you were rooting for the demise and downfall for the Sox playing against the Yankees tonight when you're like,
oh, because I wanted to see the Yankees hitters.
Can we talk about Jonathan Cannon real quick? That's tonight's starter for the White Sox.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cannon over his last three games.
Okay.
A minute 1.89 ERA. He has been balling. He has also gone at least 6 innings in each of those starts. I like the Sox tonight.
Oh, okay.
I like the Grady Sizemore effect, as it were.
Oh, you are buying it. You want to go join Chuck and Ozzie on that set.
Well, here's why.
Okay.
Not just last night's explosion. I didn't know if it would happen, but I felt like there was the tide was starting to turn. Because the Cubs have been playing very good baseball, correct?
Sox?
Yeah. No, the Cubs. The Cubs.
Oh, the Cubs have been playing very good. Sorry, look down for a second.
So the Cubs went to Guaranteed Rate Field Friday and Saturday. And they were tested by the White Sox.
Yeah.
The Sox put up a fight.
Yeah. I mean, the Cubs did get out to a 6-run lead on Friday.
And then the Sox did what?
No doubt. They came back and they did the same thing the Cubs did last night. They came all the way back. They may as well won, but they did not because Luis Robert was missing really
easy
pitches.
Because bad teams find a way to lose. Speaking of Luis Robert Jr., what were his stats from last night?
I don't even know. How did he do?
Oh, he didn't play.
I didn't think so. I was like, I can't even remember a Luis Robert moment from the night.
So,
ooh, interesting.
I'm saying your best hitter doesn't play and you belt out a season high in runs and hits?
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying, so you're calling for it right now. Bench Luis Robert. Is that what you're saying right
now? That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's what you just said.
I think he needed a day off after going 0 for 10 with, what, six strikeouts in his last couple of games?
Yeah, probably.
So,
well, I've been in situations, too, where I could have used a day off. So, it goes both ways. Yeah, I didn't want to come out. You know, I was that guy. But I was also that guy who was lost at times, too. I'm not saying that he is. But I think that, you know, I want to be mindful of what he's gone through. You know, he's not that far removed from that injury. And he's come back really fast from that. And I still think he needs to get his legs back underneath him. And I think, I want to just give him some time to just think and work on some stuff today and not have to worry about that translating into the game tonight.
So, listening to Grady Sizemore pregame explain why Luis Robert Jr. was out of the lineup.
Okay.
And his team performed.
Yeah.
So, if you're Grady Sizemore right now, did you see the joy, the euphoria on his face after that game? It's his first major league win.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, I don't know much about Grady Sizemore, the person, but he was genuinely happy, and I could tell, like, I watched the whole post-game press conference, and I was happy for the guy.
You know, last year he was working a $15 an hour internship.
Really? I'm so confused on what this man has been doing. Was he not the Sox hitting assistant hitting coach
year? This year he was... But yeah, last year, right. he wanted back in baseball, and he was like, I just need a job. And the Diamondbacks like, oh, well, we have this $15 an hour internship.
Yeah.
Where he apparently impressed front office members and everybody else. Okay. So, listen, I just, as a White Sox fan, can you just let us have this one today, Mark?
Absolutely. No, hey, Gavin Sheets was a monster last night, just a doubles machine. My guy, I said it yesterday, who are you watching for on the... Corey freaking Lee.
So Corey Lee.
Your pick to click, huh?
That's my pick to click.
Listen, Corey Lee, here's why I think it's different now. In the same game, Corey Lee hits a home run and then lays down a perfect bunt down the third base line for a base hit. And I'm like, oh, this is a different brand of baseball than what I've been watching for the last two seasons.
I see your Corey Lee home run, and I raise you a Brooks Baldwin. Brooks Baldwin, after not throw the ball home. After not doing that, he had what turned into, when he hit the three-run homer last night, that's where it started to become a blowout. I always look more closely at the stuff that happened before a blowout because it's easy to just look at a scorecard. Oh, Brooks Baldwin, three-run homer. But no, more credit to Gavin Sheets and Corey Lee and for the White Sox doing it against a pretty good pitcher last night in Luis Gil. Luis, don't call me Gil, Gil. So it was a good night for the White Sox, and we are going to continue talk about the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears more, because next we have the Pick Six here on the Mully and Haw Show. I'm Mark Grody. He is Marshall Harris. This is the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. How much more would you like to see Caleb Williams play in the next two preseason games? Would you have a problem with it if Matt Eberflus was to hold out his starters Saturday against Cincinnati? Just as the Bengals head coach Zach Taylor indicated he will do against the Bears.
I would like to see one more really good outing from Caleb Williams. Just one more. When I say good, I mean a quantity. A little bit more. One more good 30 to 40. Like stretch it just a little bit beyond the 18 plays you did. Maybe up to 40 plays in a contest. Like I think he still needs it, needs to be out there. But I do recognize the other need to protect this man, especially based on what we saw in the last preseason game and what we think this man can become. I do have a feeling that Matt Eberflus might be very limited with Caleb Williams this week because of the Zach Taylor thing, also because of how much I know how seriously they take these dual practices based on Indianapolis last year and what they did in the game against Indianapolis when they went down to Indy and practice with the Colts last year. So I suppose I would understand it. I will say this, though. I wish Matt Eberflus has an opportunity here to kind of differentiate himself, to impose his own will. And maybe if Zach Taylor hadn't have said it, that maybe Matt Eberflus would have said the same thing. But I would have rather that he was the one running the show, that he was the first one to say, I'm not going to play my guys. I don't want him to be the coach that has to keep up with the other guys and match what they are doing and go along with their program. You know, this is Flus's third year. As we saw in Hard Knocks, it seems to be, at least on the exterior, a different version of Matt Eberflus, and then really the way he deals with us has been different this year. Now I want to see him. I just feel like this is sort of a preamble to him matching wits with coaches during the regular season as well. So I'd understand it, but I'd rather see him being the leader in this case.
I don't like this at all. All.
Yeah.
I think Marshall and I might have talked about this pregame yesterday off the air about after the game in Buffalo with Caleb making his first official start at Soldier Field, like those tickets probably in the secondary market. A preseason game for the Bears has never been more valuable. And I bet people gobbled them up over the last couple of days. And now if this is true, that's terrible. He's got to play at least one series. His debut cannot be the very first game. You want him out. He's got to get used to everything. And going through the pregame warm-up is not enough. And we've heard about, you know, it's $10,000 to turn the lights on down there. You know, they wanted to send the kickers down there. Remember during the last time the Bears were decent when we had the double doink? There was all this stuff about the guys wanted to go kick down there, and it was $10,000 to turn the lights on. Are we going to turn the lights on? Blah, 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 blah. Well, so when are they going to go down there and practice? Because they didn't do the family fest because it wasn't convenient or something, right? There was concerts and traffic and days off and blah, 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 blah. So it's a different place to play. and you want him to be comfortable at home. And don't tell me that going through the warm-up on Saturday is going to be enough. So, no, it's not about who leads or who. No, play your damn guy. You owe it to the fans, one series at least.
So I think that they should play Caleb Williams in this game on Saturday, but all the evidence points to the contrary. I don't think he's going to play. A couple of reasons. One, the turnaround from Saturday to Thursday for that final preseason game. I don't know that Matt Eberflus is going to feel comfortable saying, hey, let's do this. And normally you would say the final preseason game isn't really for the starters, but this year we have 2 full weeks between the final preseason game and that regular season opener. I agree with Dustin in that, yeah, Justin Fields probably needs to play some snaps at Soldier Field before the regular season starts. That being said, I'm going to read you a Matt Eberflus quote from last year when they did have those joint practices down in Indianapolis. According to Eberflus, quote, it's invaluable. It's really like playing 2 preseason games. It really is, with your guys in a safe environment. It's really that. If they let me do it again, I'd do it again next week. I really like it. It's very valuable to the coaches and the scouts in term of evaluation. So he thought that the joint practices were like playing a preseason game each day. They got joint practices this week. I could see him turning the lights off on Caleb Williams for this week and say, oh, we'll just play him in the final game since we got a lot of time between the final preseason game and the regular season opener. Should he play? Yeah, he probably needs to get some snaps in at Soldier Field. But I don't think he's going to play.
I got to tell you, man, I don't, what Dustin was talking about, you cannot underestimate that. Like, that would be, it would almost feel like a ripoff. If you're a fan going to Soldier Field on Saturday, and this is the one Bears game you get to go to all year because that's all you can afford.
Because guess what? Those other regular season games, those prices, trying to get them on the secondary market, it's not looking good for you.
Yeah.
Mortgage the house.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, that's another thing, too. I know we got to get into the next question, but it's going to be really interesting to see what the crowd is like on Saturday for the Soldier Field debut of Caleb Williams.
Oh, boy. Good question.
There he is, our guy, Coach Wanstead. He'll be with you guys 744 to 820 in studio. Check it out on Twitch. The Cubs missed a chance to get back to 500 for the first time since June 5th, falling 9-8 to the Guardians in a game that had it all. If the Cubs do not make the postseason, what do you think will be to blame over the 42 final games?
If the Cubs don't make the playoffs, it depends on how it goes, but it is up to Craig Counsell to make it happen. If he doesn't make it happen, then he's going to shoulder the blame. All the success that he's had in Milwaukee as they look up at the Brewers all season long, as the Brewers are cruising to a division title, it's going to be some questions to be answered. And when I say questions to be answered, not by Craig Counsell, because, you know, if they offer you the money, you're taking the money, but by the front office. Did you do enough to put the Cubs in a position to win? Because you may have misaligned what you thought Craig Counsell was worth if it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. Now, I believe in Craig Counsell. I think he's a great manager. I don't think that they necessarily did enough as far as offseason player moves, but they do need the guys that they signed, the Dansby Swansons, the Nico Horners, 2 extensions and everything else, whether it's free agent, to perform like they're capable of performing. The bullpen's been pretty good, so we'll see where the cards fall in May, but it goes straight to one Craig Counsell for me.
Yeah, much is expected from Craig Counsell. It has been maddening to me so far. I mean, he's got to have like a sore on his forearm from leaning on that rail. It's like, get out of the dugout every once in a while. And last night, they almost said he was too late, right? He wanted to review something. It's like, hey, Craig, get with the program. You are a game under 500. Let's go.
That's just baseball.
that one really sucks with
baseball, unfortunately.
That drove me, you know what, crazy last night, lying in bed, listening to the post game, not watching the White Sox, wanting to hear him explain Merriweather. I mean,
that's just baseball, unfortunately.
You know,
is that what we're going to say at the end of the season press conference when they miss it out by like a game or two?
Yeah, that is just baseball.
Craig Counsell, resting face, every time he goes out to talk to an umpire or to talk to anybody, is that the look is him saying, oh, come on, like his face tilted, that little smile on his face, the eyes squint. Now, come on, man. That's the Craig Council look. That's the way he looks all the time. Let's see here. I think that if the Cubs don't make it, it will be because of, I mean, tell you, man, this has bugged me all year. It bugged me again last night, even though the Cubs won and Dansby Swanson kind of erased some of what I'm about to talk about. But it's the leaving dudes on base. Like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the second inning yesterday where the Cubs have runners on first and second and one out and nothing. I've been watching that all year long. Like, if you want to make the playoffs and you want to be better than, what are they now, 3 or 4 games out of the wild card, like, winning teams capitalize. You're not going to capitalize every single time you have runners on base in less than 2 outs. But at this point, you got to be capitalizing most of the time. So I'm not going to let stuff like that slide. So I think that if the Cubs are doomed, I think that's going to be part of it. I also think that they're no more slumps, no more catastrophic 1-for-19 slides for the Cubs hitters, although they've been thumping the baseball a lot better. And then I think the thing that I worry about most for the Cubs down the stretch is running out of gas and key guys like Shota Imanaga. And I know that I'm like projecting a little bit because Shota had a bad night last night, but this is his first Major League Baseball season, and we've seen it with many players where they just run out of gas towards the end of the season, and unfortunately, you absolutely can't have that. And I know that they did rest him. They might have prepared him for this moment, controversially enough, even on this show, that they sat him or skipped his turn in the rotation. Hopefully it pays off and he gets his stuff back together, but there are some real reasons for the Cubs losing it down the stretch if they do.
I'm not going to take any questions.
The White Sox got their first win of the Grady Sizemore era with an impressive win over the Yankees, scoring a season-high 12 runs. Is there a world where Sizemore has the interim tag taken off his title? What would have to happen for that to be the case?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I was legitimately happy for Grady Sizemore last night, and I usually don't fall for that kind of stuff, but I understood the moment for what it is. This team has just had a tyrannically bad year. Obviously, Grady Sizemore was seeing it from a distance. The manager gets, Grafal gets fired. Everybody knows the position that Sizemore is put in. It's a tough spot. Lord knows he's not doing all the managing right now. That is, and justifiably, the front office is helping him a lot with that. So my answer is no. That it's going to be a fun story. He's going to be a footnote. He's going to be a trivia question. And maybe he plays a bigger role with the next White Sox regime. But I think at the end of it, the White Sox should do what they said they were going to do. They shake his hands. They say, thank you very much. They offer him a job in the organization. Or they say, we'll help you get a job wherever it is that you want to be. But one of the most refreshing things that the White Sox said, and I know that it was really just a message to guys like Ozzie Guillen and AJ Pierzynski that they ain't getting the gig, but when the Sox say they want to go outside of the organization and bring in somebody with managerial experience, which Grady Sizemore has none of except for what he's done with the White Sox, then that's a revelation right there. Like, that's breaking news that should almost be mentioned every day. The Sox, who love internal hires, who love to hire managers that don't necessarily feel qualified or even desirous, Robin Ventura at times, I just thought it was incredibly refreshing that they said they were going to do that. So I'm hoping that they go through with their plan, and I don't know why anybody would trust Grady Sizemore as a long-term manager.
Well, last night's game over on the South side is a perfect example of what Craig Council said last night. That's just baseball. Like, these things just happen. The Yankees closed as a -360 favorite. Mark, do you know what that means?
-360
favorite?
It means
you have to bet $360 to win $100.
Oh, my God. Is that what you're going to do on the White Sox-Yankees game tonight, Marshall? Because I know you're pretty confident about
that. I might see where the numbers fall.
Go on, Dustin.
Do it at Circus Sports Illinois if you do that. Here's the thing. By the time they make this decision, Grady Sizemore will have managerial experience. Mm-hmm. So he will then all of a sudden have checked that box.
Oh.
And last week on
Friday. Not outside
Friday,
the organization, though.
Well, but last week on Friday, he was outside the organization. Define outside the like never stepped foot in the organization, has a little White Sox stink on him. You know, how much time not in the. Steve Stone on Friday with Mullion Haw said that Sizemore is a legit candidate.
Well, you tell Steve Stone. Well, how, it doesn't make sense, though.
Wait a minute. What organization are we talking about? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Why
would everybody all... Okay, first of all, the guy has won one game, has Grady Sizemore. Has he managed a day in his life before
he's,
that?
He's actually managed 3 days now.
Okay.
But
previous to that, that's the guy that you guys are like, and Steve Stone is saying, he could stay here?
Hold on. How many games has Craig Counsel managed, and what's that doing?
Well, you are after Counsel
he's
today,
after
man.
Counsel. But listen, with the White Sox right now, we know Chris Getz's stated qualifications in terms of a player that's not with the they're looking outside of the organization, right?
Yes.
You know what can wipe off the stink of being with the organization? Turning around the organization. If he prevents this team from having the worst record in baseball history, that's one.
We'll talk then, and maybe.
But I'm just saying what the question is, what would have to happen for that to be the case?
Good, well said. You got me on technicality.
So Grady Sizemore, if he... Let's say he has a winning record.
Okay, what's
as
he
White
got?
Sox
okay,
manager.
Yeah, let's set
he's
this.
He's 1-2.
He's
a game under 500.
What does he need to do? He has to win. What did we figure out yesterday with John Heyman? He has to win. The Sox have to
15 games
to
14 now.
14 now.
The countdown is on
to get the record.
The countdown is on, and here's the bottom line: Grady Sizemore, while he doesn't have big league managerial experience, by the end of the season, he will have a quarter of a season under his belt of big league managerial experience. We know that he is a baseball guy because he went and took a $15 an hour job with the Diamondbacks. He was on a coaching staff for the Arizona Fall League while with the Diamondbacks in year one. Year two, he gets a big league job on a staff. And now he's got a chance to turn around the season. If he turns them around, I think Chris Getz is going to have to look at him. And also,
what does turning them around mean?
To have a winning record
as
interim manager.
So if they're 500 or a game over 500 over these final
with this
games
roster,
of the
yes.
season.
With this roster, yes.
Then you would make him the manager?
I didn't say that. I'd say he becomes a viable candidate.
Oh, man. You guys are all crazy.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Wow. That's a good question.
That was John Heyman. And yesterday, when discussing potential landing spots for Yankee slugger Juan Soto, Baseball Insider John Heyman mentioned to you all the usual suspects as potential suitors. Those potential spots did not include the Cubs, according to Heyman. Why do you think that is, and shouldn't the Cubs be in that all the usual suspects club?
I think John Heyman's literally looking at the track record of the Cubs and what they're willing to spend, and that's what we're looking at. Now, I'm not saying the Cubs couldn't turn the power switch on this offseason and go after one Juan Soto, but he's going to cost, I think he said $500 million. So does that sound like that's in line with what the Cubs have been doing of recently? I mean, look, the Cubs can afford Juan Soto. We know that, but do they want to make that kind of investment as owners? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And right now, I've seen no evidence that the Cubs are going to be willing to spend Juan Soto money. Whereas we've seen the other teams that he mentioned, they are literally the usual suspects because we've seen them pour money into their ball club with big contracts, whether that's the Giants trying to throw it out there and offering and being outbid, whether that's the Yankees, the Mets, we already know what their payroll is capable of. And of course, the Philadelphia Phillies, who just go out and get the best player at any position if they feel like at any given offseason. The Cubs have not shown a predilection towards doing that. If they do, it'll be a shock, but it'll also be a turning of the page.
I mean, should they be part of that club? Yes, they should. I mean, the Budweiser is really expensive at Wrigley Field. The ticket, the experience, the Wrigley Field experience is, if not the, it's in the top three most expensive in all of baseball. But you can't sell any more seats. They're basically sold out every day, every night when they play at the Federal Landmark. But like you talk about lengthening the lineup. I mean, again, Juan Soto, the only other guy to me is probably Ohtani. that can length, like Juan, you can't just say, well, if you just add a Juan Soto, there aren't multiple Juan Sotos. There's only one Juan Soto, which is why he will try to command $500 million. Now, I don't get to look at the Cubs books. You know, how much leash do the Ricketts get? You know, they saved Wrigley Field and they won a World Series as owners. Like, is that a lifetime of leash? Right? Is that a lifetime of leash? Because should they be in the conversation? Sure, absolutely, they should. Will they? Not sure.
Yeah, so I look at this in a couple ways. I think I understand what Jed Hoyer is trying to do. He is trying to almost build the team the old-fashioned way. And I think any baseball personnel guy, anybody who is in charge of putting together a baseball team, of course they want to do it by drafting and developing and thinking outside of the box and thinking like somebody like the signing of Seiya Suzuki, like put that guy in play. And he wanted to developing Justin Steele, having your guys like that. So I think that there is some credibility to, you know, be told for Jed Hoyer in that regard. But at some point in time, you are the mega market Chicago Cubs. And sometimes I find it embarrassing that the Cubs are not included in those conversations. And I was mad at John Heyman. When John Heyman listed off the teams and called the usual suspects, both New York teams, the LA Dodgers, I think you mentioned San Francisco.
Yeah, those are all teams who offer big contracts.
The Cubs, the third largest market in this country, should be included automatically in those things. And the organization has comported themselves in a way that guys like John Heyman don't even think about the Cubs off the top of their head when it comes to the big time signings.
Different question on a different topic.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He's with you at 8:44 this morning. An arbitration panel says it will not consider the U.S.'s appeal to reconsider stripping Jordan of her bronze medal on the floor exercise after officials said the U.S. appeal that led to the medal deciding deduction came 4 seconds past the one-minute deadline. The U.S. submitted the stamped video evidence that their appeal became before such a deadline, but officials say the rules do not allow the arbitration award to be reconsidered, even when conclusive new evidence is provided. This is almost like a Mully question. Should the U.S. gymnast give her bronze medal back?
What?
That's my question. I'll take
it. Could you take that?
I had to lay out what it was.
It was so arduous, man.
Listen, I wasn't going to leave out the details.
No, you had. I don't understand any of this. You go first.
Wow. So, wow. So Jordan Childs had her bronze medal stripped.
Okay.
Because
Jordan, not just Jordan.
So
Dustin just said her just Jordan.
But listen. So Jordan, not Michael, had her medal stripped, her bronze medal
Childs,
stripped.
Childs, Dustin, just so you know.
Because no relation to Jackie. So she had her bronze medal stripped.
Yeah, you listen to me, Jerry Seinfeld.
Because at the time she won the bronze medal, they appealed something.
Okay.
And they said, okay, yes, you're right. And that deducted a point from the fourth place winner, who the gymnast that would have finished in fourth.
Okay, these are gymnasts. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. After that happened, they came back after the medals were awarded, right? The next day, and they said, hey, that appeal you did, it was too late. You only get 1 minute to appeal.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You only get 1 minute to appeal.
Okay.
It was too late, so now you don't get it. The U.S. is like, hold up, it wasn't late. Here's the timestamped video that says within 1 minute we made the appeal. And then
And they still rejected it.
And they said, well, we can't look at any evidence, no matter how conclusive it is.
Okay, that is stupid. Why can't they look at it? That's real-time stuff.
So she should not give back the bronze medal. You would have to literally pry it off out of my dead, cold body.
Yeah. That's rough. Dustin?
I almost feel like, Craig Counsell was running that appeal.
Did he write the question, too?
No, that was Marshall Harris.
That was Marshall.
So, Sabrina to Jordan, my thoughts are with you. I know what you are feeling because I've been through the same, but I know you'll come back stronger. I hope from deep of my heart that at the next Olympics, all three of us will share the same podium. This is my true dream, end quote. So that's what she said in social media to about the situation. I wouldn't want it. It's a bronze. Take it. Here you go.
Yeah, bronze medals kind of
suck. So you give it back. You give it back.
If she genuflex, I think her Q rating will go up. I think she will be seen as a victim. People will feel sorry for her. That will help her in other areas. And hopefully that will make her stronger for LA in 28.
By the way, I want to say something, too. And I'm glad that I've said this to Marshall. Marshall writes the best questions. I've told him now 2 days in a row, I just want him writing the pick six. But that one baffled me. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I did the best I could.
No, it's okay.
Obviously,
paid by the word.
Dustin has not watched The Legend of Billie Jean, because fair is fair.
Yeah. The Legend of Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Not your lover?
No. That's not a different one.
That's a different one. She's not your lover. Or she is your lover. Make up your mind. Goodness. You know?
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Major League Baseball and the Red Sox have suspended outfielder Jaron Duran for 2 games for calling a heckler an anti-gay slur Sunday in a loss to the Astros. The reigning All-Star Game MVP apologized on Monday to reporters. How surprising is it that this is still happening in 2024?
Not surprising at all. I believe in individual agency. People are going to do what they want to do. And base instincts, worst instincts come out in the heat of the moment. And, like, I'm not surprised at all. Like, I don't know Jaron Duran, but, like, I'm not surprised that it happened, because people use language like this all the time. And you got caught on a hot mic because you lost your cool and shouldn't have done it. Now you will pay your 2-game suspension. There's precedent for it. Major League Baseball has issued these types of suspensions in the past. They'll continue to do so in the future. Just really no place for it in modern society. But here we are. Not surprised. He apologized. I don't know how much weight I put in an apology, because, like, when you say stuff like that, it's not the first time that's come out of your mouth. That's my point. So not surprised at all. But, you know, pay the price. We live in a very 24/7 news cycle. It'll be over in a couple of days and people will move on.
Well, that's a great point you made there, Marshall. Based on what he said, this is not the first time it ever has come out of his mouth. So shame on him. And it's unfortunate that it goes on. And I don't know if there's the old, I'm kind of an eye for an eye guy, just in the grand scheme of things. The heckler, because you just talked about the hot mic, the heckler was saying to him, "You need a tennis racket. You need a tennis racket." And that's how he responded to, "You need a tennis." I mean, we've all been to games. Okay. We have heard way worse than, "You need a tennis racket." And that still wouldn't or shouldn't allow you to say what he said. But "you need a tennis racket" definitely shouldn't have gotten that response.
And just quickly, be creative. Like,
right.
What? Like, have you never played the dozens? Know how to roast somebody without, you know, crossing certain lines. It's like people getting car accidents every day. The road rage will tell you who someone is 100% of the time.
It's true. What was the, how did Andrew Shaw handle this? Remember Andrew Shaw of the Blackhawks had a gay slur, and then I think he spoke to the gay community and he apologized. And the whole thing. I will say that about Jaron Duran. I did listen to him, and he did sound contrite. Like, he did apologize. He did say, "Yeah, this is a bigger thing," and that those kind, like, he wouldn't even talk about the suspension or the penalty. He just said, like, "This is something that has to stop." But I agree with you that I'm with you. This is a very good question, by the way. Did you write this question, Marshall?
This
is a very good question. I'm not surprised that it happens in 2024, because I hear it. I have heard it a lot, that kind of stuff, in my career. But yeah, it's he deserves what he's getting, and I'm not surprised by it. Hey, that's it for the pick six. Thank you. I always feel like there should be some, you know,
yeah, bells, I know. A bell. There's a bell. There's the bell.
There's my bell.
It's time to go to break.
Bell. Yeah, we do have to take a break. But when we come back, we will bring you the extra point. And phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. It's the Molly and Haw Show with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Molly and Haw on 670 The Score.
The first preseason AP college football poll is out with Georgia on top, followed by the Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, rounding out your top five. Reigning champion Michigan is ninth, with the college football playoff expanding from 4 to 12. How much actual weight does this poll carry? Which conference will have the most teams in the supersized postseason field?
This is crazy because realignment and the expansion of the playoff didn't really hit me until I actually looked at the preseason AP top 25 poll. And then when I looked at it, I was like, wait a minute. This is nothing but SEC and Big Ten. Like, the whole poll. Like, you got to go all the way down to an independent Notre Dame team, I think at number 7, before you get a non-SEC, non-Big Ten school. And then Florida State checks in to round out the top 10. So 8 of the top 10 teams are SEC and Big Ten. And because of that, and because of the way conferences work and conference championship games, and the fact that there's 12 teams now making it in the playoff, this poll doesn't carry much weight at all. It's gonna sort itself out a lot better on the football field than what we've seen in previous years, where if you had, you know, the Pac-12 existing by itself. But those former teams now being part of the Big Ten and part of other conferences makes this very interesting. But to answer the question about which conference will have the most teams in the supersized postseason field, I think that's going to be the SEC. Mm. I really do. I just think the attrition in the Big Ten is going to be far worse there than in the SEC. You're going to have like the top 4 or 5 teams in the SEC be the top 4 or 5 teams in the SEC, where you're going to have a bunch of 3 and 4 lost teams, I think, in the Big Ten.
Well, I'd predict that 9 of the 12 will be from the two conferences. You're right about the fact that they're going to beat the absolutely you-know-what out of each other. That's what you're predicting. It's great for fans. It's a great starting point. The worst thing is it's very hard if you're like 18th, let's say. It's very hard to get from 18 to the top 10 or the top 12. So that's where this hurts people. Is that it's very hard to climb in the polls because expectations are what they are. But as you point out, these teams in the top 8 are all playing each other at one time or another. So losses are going to come into this. So if you're in the Big 12 or if you're in the ACC, so the best team in the ACC is number 10 Florida State. So they could be climbers because they may not have those losses. So it's fun for fans. I love the idea of the 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I like that too. And I do agree that the SEC will still, and it pains me. I mean, I'm a Big Ten fan. I'd rather that the Big Ten, you know, have more. But I do think that the SEC will continue to reign. Alabama maintaining. Is that your school, by the way, Marshall?
No, that's not your college football team. The reason why I said more SEC schools will be in, because I know what the bottom feeders look like in the SEC versus the Big Ten. In Mississippi State, where I went to school,
okay,
bottom feeder.
Okay.
An 8-win season is good for us.
Speaking of that, really quick, since you brought up Mississippi State, and the team that kind of, like, really to me, and I'll say I don't know much about them other than the Grove and Lane Kiffin, but Ole Miss, number 6?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. They can beat up on everybody that's bad in the SEC, play their, like, 3 games and win 2 of them, and they're a 2-loss team. Now they're in the playoff.
You know who's right after them at number 7, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The old Notre Damers at number 7. I got Chris Emmer running around telling me how good the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are going to be this year.
Notre Dame football on WBBM, by the way.
Yeah, right down the hallway here. I occasionally do updates on that radio station.
WBBM.
That's right. Does George Hoffman still work over there? I miss seeing George around
here.
Yeah, that's right. Michigan is number 9. I thought that was interesting to see after they won it all last year. That's the J.J. McCarthy effect. And not to mention Jim Harbaugh, who has been, what is he? If he wants to come back to college, he's automatically banned for 2 years or something.
The NCAA is so toothless at this point.
How about the fact that he's coming back as the honorary captain for the first game of the
Harbaugh
season?
Harbaugh is?
Yes. How about that?
Oh, that's incredible. Is that a bleep you to the NCAA?
Of course
from,
it is.
From Michigan?
Like,
it's a double bleep you.
From Michigan, too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
From Michigan and from Jim Harbaugh. That's what he does. Nobody puts up middle fingers in the figurative sense better than Jim Harbaugh throughout his entire career. Those kinds of things stand out to me, too. And Mizzou at number 11. I always mentioned
Brad
Mizzou.
Biggs will be happy.
That's
about
right.
That, right?
I was just going to say, unfortunately, a lot of people I know went to Missouri. So that is very significant
as well. The Mizzou Mafia, if you will.
The Mizzou Mafia. Well, it is a very good journalist school, you know, so people, they like to pump it up over there. Well, you seem skeptical about that.
Just
Marshall.
Mizzou, Syracuse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Northwestern to a lesser degree, but like.
But it's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
I'm just like,
saying.
Man, listen. I'll take my state education to Mississippi State and
amen.
If it's free, it's me, baby.
I have state in the name of the school I went to, the Illinois State. Yeah, free and
exactly.
So not free.
Yeah, y'all can have your prestigious. I paid so much money. And
Mississippi State's like making a push because like in the Western burbs, the SEC has become very popular because of the sports teams.
Yes,
like they're trying to get kids from the Midwest down there. Alabama
really?
Was a big draw. Well, now like. My daughter gets something from Mississippi State like every other day in the mail.
It's a great place to go to school.
It's the one SEC school that is like hammering her with like paraphernalia and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
It's a great school. And it's cheaper than these other schools. I'm telling you right now, if you get that out of state waived, feeling good about yourself.
That is the extra point. When we come back, phone lines are open. If you want to react to anything that we've talked about so far this morning in the Pick Six or in the extra point, 312-644-6767, the number. Mark Grody and Marshall Harris in today for Mully and Haw on the Score. Hell State! Yeah. We're playing an awful, awful, awful game off the air.
Is it an awful game? I think it's a great game.
I have been exposed.
Listen. I got you out the gate, though. So Mark and I were talking about, you know, this conference realignment because all these teams trying to get into a 12-team playoff now. I was like, Mark, do you know, like, who's left from the Pac-12? And obviously you were like, there's still a Pac-12?
Right.
I was like, yeah, there's
I came close.
Two teams in the Pac-12.
Right. I said a Washington team and an Oregon team. I did not get them right specifically because it is Washington State that remains in the Pac-12 with Oregon State. Meantime, you have Washington in the Big Ten now. And is Oregon in? Is that another one of the Big Ten?
You've got 14 of the 18 teams in the Big Ten. I'm impressed.
See, just before we came on the air, I was up to 13, like just listing the teams in the Big Ten. So 14 I was able to get. Play this game at home, kids. Can you name the teams that are in the conferences that exist in college football these
days?
Yeah,
or just the conference that your favorite team is in.
That's it. Yeah, right, because I claim to be I am a Big Ten fan, and I got 13. 14, right.
14 and counting.
Who did I miss on
the
list?
Ironically, you're missing the team closest in proximity to us right this second.
Oh, Northwestern. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
And then the East Coast, you got one of the East Coast teams.
Yeah.
There's another East Coast team.
I got
team
Rutgers.
Out there.
Who's the other East Coast team that I'm missing? And they've been, are they new to it this year?
They've been for quite a while.
They've been in it for quite a while. The other East
they,
Coast.
They cried broke, team. And that's why they left their former conference because the Big Ten had money.
Mm-hmm. You got it, Fryer? You look like you're.
Is it Maryland?
It is Maryland. All right, see, look, we're almost done here.
I'm just still not used
now,
to Maryland. The
classic top 10 ranked Big Ten school. That you have not named yet.
Really? I didn't.
Top 10 Big Ten school you have not named yet.
Okay, so I named.
College football. Never good at college basketball, but pretty amazing. They're always like good enough to be in the top 10, but not good enough to win the Big Ten.
Who am I missing?
They had a scandal back in the day.
Yeah.
A big scandal. Brandon knows who this is.
Penn State.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, yeah. What's
funny is, like, I thought you'd have more problems with the newer schools, but once you figured out that UCLA, USC.
Yes, once I got that row of names, I was like, you're like, oh, this guy's on his way.
And then you're missing.
I thought I had named all the classics of the
Big Ten. And you're missing the number 3 ranked team in the nation.
And that is, where's my little sheet here? Where did that go? I have lost it.
It's okay. It's Nike. Think.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah.
I said Oregon.
No, you said Washington.
Oh, no, but at the beginning of the segment. I remember I said
my
Oregon
bad.
State, right,
then,
and then
Oregon. You've got them all.
So I did pretty well.
I think that's every.
I should have had Penn State because I was going through all my basics.
You were down to your last two, and they're in the same state, and they're old school Big Ten.
Yeah.
Think.
Oh, I still
think
got two
college
more.
Basketball. Yeah, you got 16
Good
of them.
Good God, man. This thing never stops.
So honestly, that is the challenge. And like, I got it. Here's what is so funny. The first thing I asked him was, you think you know where these schools are? He's like, yeah, I think I, you know.
Yeah, try me.
And then I was like, Stanford out of the gate. And you were like, Stanford, are they in the Big Ten?
Yeah, they make it in the
and
Big
that's
Ten.
And that's what's messed up about this. Yes. We've got coast-to-coast conferences now because Stanford is in the ACC along with Cal. Like, that's where we are now.
Yeah.
It's all a big mess.
Right. There's no, you know, for the most part, we have lost geographical convenience.
And that's why back in the day when this kind of Frankenstein monster was created, I was so proud of the Big East saying, screw this. We don't even look like ourselves anymore. And they just said, we're wiping this out. We're going back to being what we are, a basketball conference. Forget your football money. And it's worked out quite well for them. Like, they're a premier basketball conference. And they stuck to their roots. And people don't wonder who's in the Big East. Everybody knows who's in the Big East.
Yeah. And I guess on the overall, I mean, it's good that for people probably listening to this radio station, a lot of Big Ten fans, at least you know that your conference is one of the powerhouses.
It's not going anywhere. Like, if you're in the Big Ten, you're in the Big Ten.
Right. If you're a college football fan and you're a Big Ten person, you're in good shape. Nobody's going to take. They're adding to your conference. They're not trying to break up your conference.
You're not getting usurped.
You are not getting usurped.
So,
exactly.
So, look, I'm excited about college football. I've been calling for the 12 team. For over a decade, I've been rooting for the Power Five schools, like for a team to go undefeated in each conference to justify expanding the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened. I mean, ironically, the last year of his existence is when we had the whole fiasco with the ACC champion unable to get into the playoff with Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State, right. The boring Florida State style.
Exactly. So I just think it's great that we're now to the point where there's going to be a playoff one, but also these on-campus games for a playoff are going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The atmosphere is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're in teams 9 through 12, you're in the playoff, but now you got to go play at somebody's house.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a cool addition to it. 630 says, usurpers! Exclamation point. That is a good word. Good throw-in. A good word for before 7 o'clock in the morning. Nothing says Atlantic Coast Conference like California. Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot
it's a
of
coast.
This.
It's a coast.
Nothing says the Big Ten like Oregon. I wonder how those teams feel about it. Like, USC, they've got to be a little bit stunned, you know, or even UCLA, like just a little stunned with the idea that they're in the Big Ten all of a sudden. Like, I don't know how much they're going to appreciate.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. I'm talking about like the players though, more like, or you're getting recruited to UCLA.
Guess what? If they don't like it, they can just leave.
That's
I don't
true.
Know if you heard.
And that's true.
The transfer portal is a thing.
The magical portal.
The only thing that gives me faith in college sports right now is the fact that they brought back college football, EA Sports. Like,
people love that. Like, it was gone for, what, 10 years or something?
Yeah.
So I do not play video games really anymore, and I'm not a big college football fan. But I know that people have gone crazy over this. And would you be one of those people?
I am not.
Okay.
Only games I play now are like 8-bit games. Like I'll play. I still have a regular Nintendo 8-bit style.
Oh, nice.
NES, okay. And I'll just blow off the old Tecmo Super Bowl, throw it in there, and let's ride.
Okay, all
let's
right.
ride.
312-644-6767. Guess what today is? It is
the day after Ian Happ's birthday.
That's right. Let's talk about Ian Happ when we come back. Actually, Ian Happ had a good day yesterday. The Cubs had a bad day, I suppose, but let's try to figure out the Cubs when we return. Dave Wanstead is going to be in studio starting at 7:44. We've got Mike Florio later. Mark Potash is going to be on Talking Bears. We got a lot of Mullion Haw Show left with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
644-6767. It's the Molly and Haw Show with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
The first preseason AP college football poll is out with Georgia on top, followed by the Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, rounding out your top five. Reigning champion Michigan is ninth, with the college football playoff expanding from 4 to 12. How much actual weight does this poll carry? Which conference will have the most teams in the supersized postseason field?
This is crazy because realignment and the expansion of the playoff didn't really hit me until I actually looked at the preseason AP top 25 poll. And then when I looked at it, I was like, wait a minute, this is nothing but SEC and Big Ten, like the whole poll. Like, you got to go all the way down to an independent Notre Dame team, I think at number 7, before you get a non-SEC, non-Big Ten school. And then Florida State checks in to round out the top 10. So 8 of the top 10 teams are SEC and Big Ten. And because of that, and because of the way conferences work and conference championship games, and the fact that there's 12 teams now making it in the playoff, this poll doesn't carry much weight at all. It's gonna sort itself out a lot better on the football field than what we've seen in previous years, where if you had, you know, the Pac-12 existing by itself. But those former teams now being part of the Big Ten and part of other conferences makes this very interesting. But to answer the question about which conference will have the most teams in the supersized postseason field, I think that's going to be the SEC. Mm. I really do. I just think the attrition in the Big Ten is going to be far worse there than in the SEC. You're going to have like the top 4 or 5 teams in the SEC be the top 4 or 5 teams in the SEC, where you're going to have a bunch of 3 and 4 lost teams, I think, in the Big Ten.
Well, I'd predict that 9 of the 12 will be from the two conferences. You're right about the fact that they're going to beat the absolutely you-know-what out of each other. That's what you're predicting. It's great for fans. It's a great starting point. The worst thing is it's very hard if you're like 18th, let's say. It's very hard to get from 18 to the top 10 or the top 12. So that's where this hurts people. Is that it's very hard to climb in the polls because expectations are what they are. But as you point out, these teams in the top 8 are all playing each other at one time or another. So losses are going to come into this. So if you're in the Big 12 or if you're in the ACC, so the best team in the ACC is number 10 Florida State. So they could be climbers because they may not have those losses. So it's fun for fans. I love the idea of the 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I like that too. And I do agree that the SEC will still, and it pains me. I mean, I'm a Big Ten fan. I'd rather that the Big Ten, you know, have more. But I do think that the SEC will continue to reign. Alabama maintaining. Is that your school, by the way, Marshall?
No, that's not your college football team. So the reason why I said more SEC schools will be in, because I know what the bottom feeders look like in the SEC versus the Big Ten in Mississippi State, where I went to school.
Okay.
Bottom feeder.
Okay.
An 8-win season is good for us.
Speaking of that, really quick, since you brought up Mississippi State, and the team that kind of, like, really to me, and I'll say I don't know much about them other than the Grove and Lane Kiffin, but Ole Miss. Number six?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. They can beat up on everybody that's bad in the SEC, play their, like, three games and win two of them, and they're a two-loss team. Now they're in the playoff.
You know who's right after them at number seven, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The old Notre Damers at number seven. I got Chris Emma running around telling me how good the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are going to be this year.
Notre Dame football on WBBM, by the way.
Yeah, right down the hallway here. I occasionally do updates on that radio station.
WBBM.
That's right. Does George Hoffman still work over there? I miss seeing George around
here.
Yeah, that's right. Michigan is number nine. I thought that was interesting to see after they won it all last year. That's the J.J. McCarthy effect. And not to mention Jim Harbaugh, who has been, what is he? If he wants to come back to college, he's automatically banned for 2 years or something.
The NCAA is so toothless at this point.
How about the fact that he's coming back as the honorary captain for the first game of the
Harbaugh
season?
Harbaugh is?
Yes. How about that?
Oh, that's incredible. Is that a bleep you to the NCAA?
Of course
From Michigan?
Like,
it's a double bleep you.
From Michigan, too, right? Yes. From Michigan and from Jim Harbaugh. That's what he does. Nobody puts up middle fingers in the figurative sense better than Jim Harbaugh throughout his entire career. Those kinds of things stand out to me, too. And Mizzou at number 11. I always mentioned
Brad
Mizzou.
Biggs will be happy.
That's
about
right.
I
was just going to say, unfortunately, a lot of people I know went to Missouri. So that is very significant
as well. The Mizzou Mafia, if you will.
The Mizzou Mafia. Well, it is a very good. A journalist school, you know, so people, they like to pump it up over there. Well, you seem skeptical about that.
Just
Marshall.
Mizzou, Syracuse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Northwestern to a lesser degree, but like.
But it's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, listen.
I'll take my state education in Mississippi State and
amen.
If it's free as me, baby.
I have a state in the name of the school I went to, the Illinois State. Yeah, free and
exactly.
It's not so free.
Y'all can have your prestigious. I paid so much money. And
Mississippi State's like making a push because like in the Western burbs, the SEC has become very popular because of the sports teams.
Yes,
like they're trying to get kids from the Midwest down there. Alabama was a big draw. Well, now like. My daughter gets something from Mississippi State like every other day in the mail.
It's a great place to go to school.
It's the one SEC school that is like hammering her with like paraphernalia and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
It's a great school. And it's cheaper than these other schools. I'm telling you right now, if you get that out of state waived, feeling good about yourself.
That is the extra point. When we come back, phone lines are open. If you want to react to anything that we've talked about so far this morning in the Pick Six or in the extra point, 312-644-6767, the number, Mark Grody and Marshall Harris in today for Mully and Haw on the Score. Hell State! Harris. Yeah. We're playing an awful, awful, awful game off the air.
Is it an awful game? I think it's a great game.
I have been exposed.
Listen, I got you out the gate, though. So Mark and I were talking about, you know, this conference realignment because all these teams trying to get into a 12-team playoff now. I was like, Mark, do you know, like, who's left from the Pac-12? And obviously you were like, there's still a Pac-12?
Right.
There's two teams in the Pac-12.
Right. I said a Washington team and an Oregon team. I did not get them right specifically because it is Washington State that remains in the Pac-12 with Oregon State. Meantime, You have Washington in the Big Ten now. And is Oregon in? Is that another one of the Big Ten?
You've got 14 of the 18 teams in the Big Ten. Yeah, I'm impressed.
See, just before we came on the air, I was up to 13, like just listing the teams in the Big Ten. So 14, I was able to get. Play this game at home, kids. Can you name the teams that are in the conferences that exist in college football these
days?
Yeah,
or just the conference that your favorite team is in.
That's it. Yeah, right, because I claim to be a big, well, I am a Big Ten fan, and I got 13. 14, right.
14 and counting.
Who did I miss on
well,
the list?
Ironically, you're missing the team closest in proximity to us right this second.
Oh, Northwestern. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
And then the East Coast, you got one of the East Coast teams.
Yeah.
There's another East Coast
I
team
I got
out
Rutgers.
There.
Who's the other East Coast team that I'm missing? And they've been, is they, are they new
they've
to
been,
it this
no, they've
year?
No, they've been in for quite a while.
They've been in it for quite a while. The other East
they,
Coast
They cried broke,
team.
And that's why they left their former conference, because
mm-hmm.
the Big Ten had money.
Mm-hmm. You got it, Fryer? You look like you're...
Is it Maryland?
It is Maryland. All right, see, look, we're almost done here.
I'm just still not used
now,
to Maryland. The
classic top 10 ranked Big Ten school that you have not named yet.
Really? I didn't.
A top 10 Big Ten school you have not named yet.
Okay, so I named...
College football. Never good at college basketball, but pretty amazing. They're always like good enough to be in the top 10, but not good enough to win the Big Ten.
Who am I missing?
They had a scandal back in the day.
Yeah.
A big scandal. Brandon knows who this is.
Penn State.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, yeah.
What's funny yeah. is, like, I thought you'd have more problems with the newer schools, but once you figured out that UCLA, USC.
Yes, once I got that row of names, yeah. I was like, you're like, oh, this guy's on his way.
And then you're missing.
I thought I had named all the classics of the
And you're missing the number 3 ranked team in the nation.
And that is, where's my little sheet here? Where did that go? I have lost it.
It's okay. It's Nike. Think.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah.
I said Oregon.
No, you said Washington.
Oh, no, but at the beginning of the segment. I
said, oh, you said at the beginning
of the
segment?
Remember I was going through Oregon.
Okay.
I remember I said
my
Oregon
bad.
State, right,
then,
and then Oregon.
You've got them all.
So I did pretty well.
I think that's every...
I should have had Penn State because I was going through all my basics.
You were down to your last two, and they're in the same state, and they're old school Big Ten.
Yeah.
Think...
Oh, I still
think
got two
college
more.
Basketball. Yeah, you got 16 of
Good
them.
Good God, man. This thing never stops.
So honestly, that is the challenge. And like, I got it. Here's what is so funny. The first thing I asked him was, you think you know where these schools are? He's like, yeah, I think I, you know.
Yeah, try me.
And then I was
try
like,
me.
I was like, Stanford out of the gate. And you were like, Stanford, are they in the Big Ten?
Yeah, they make it in the
and
Big
that's
Ten.
And that's what's messed up about this.
Yes.
We've got coast-to-coast conferences now because Stanford is in the ACC along with Cal. Like, that's where we are now.
Yeah.
It's all a big mess.
Right. There's no, you know, for the most part, we have lost geographical convenience.
And that's why back in the day when this kind of Frankenstein monster was created, I was so proud of the Big East saying, screw this. We don't even look like ourselves anymore. And they just said, we're wiping this out. We're going back to being what we are, a basketball conference. Forget your football money. And it's worked out quite well for them. Like they're a premier basketball conference, and they stuck to their roots. And people don't wonder who's in the Big East. Everybody knows who's in the Big East.
Yeah. And I guess on the overall, I mean, it's good that for people probably listening to this radio station, a lot of Big Ten fans. At least you know that your conference. Is one of the powerhouses.
It's not going anywhere. Like, if you're in the Big Ten, you're in the Big Ten.
Right. If you're a college football fan and you're a Big Ten person, you're in good shape. Nobody's going to take... They're adding to your conference. They're
right.
not trying to break up your conference.
You're not getting usurped.
You are not getting usurped.
So,
exactly.
So, look, I'm excited about college football. I've been calling for the 12 team. For over a decade, I've been rooting for the Power 5 schools, like, for a team to go undefeated in each conference to justify... expanding the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened. I mean, ironically, the last year of his existence is when we had the whole fiasco with the ACC champion unable to get into the playoff with Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State, right.
So,
the boring Florida State style.
Exactly. So I just think it's great that we're now to the point where there's going to be a playoff one, but also these on-campus games for a playoff are going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The atmosphere is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're in teams 9 through 12, you're in the playoff, but now you got to go play at somebody's house.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a cool addition to it. 630 says, usurpers! Exclamation point. That is a good word. Good throw in. a good word for before 7 o'clock in the morning. Nothing says Atlantic Coast Conference like California. Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot
it's a
of
coast.
This.
It's a coast.
Nothing says the Big Ten like Oregon. I wonder how those teams feel about it. Like, USC, they've got to be a little bit stunned, you know, or even UCLA, like, just a little stunned with the idea that they're in the Big Ten all of a sudden. Like, I don't know how much they're going to appreciate it.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, yeah.
Money.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, the players, though, more. Like, or you're getting recruited to UCLA.
Guess what? If they don't like it, they can just leave. That's I don't true. Know if you heard.
And that's true.
The transfer portal is a thing.
The magical portal.
The only thing that gives me faith in college sports right now is the fact that they brought back college football, EA Sports. Like
people love that. Like, who was gone for, what, 10 years or something?
Yeah.
So I do not play video games really anymore, and I'm not a big college football fan, but I know that people have gone crazy over this. And would you be one of those people?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
Only games I play now are like 8-bit games. Like I still have a regular Nintendo 8-bit style.
Oh, nice.
Okay. NES, and I'll just blow off the old Tecmo Super Bowl, throw it in there, and let's ride.
Okay. All
let's
right.
ride.
312-644-6767. Guess what today is? It is
the day after Ian Happ's birthday?
That's right. Let's talk about Ian Happ when we come back, actually. Ian Happ had a good day yesterday. The Cubs had a bad day, I suppose, but let's try to figure out the Cubs when we return. Dave Wanstead is going to be in studio starting at 7:44. We've got Mike Florio later. Mark Potash is going to be on Talking Bears. We got a lot of Mully and Haw show left with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.